Hi, welcome. Before I get started, I want to share something with you. During first service, as we were worshiping, I felt something in my spirit about a shifting of seasons. And I believe that the Lord is bringing us into a season of joy. Anybody with me? Does that sound okay? That there's a wind coming, and there's a heaviness and a confusion and a haziness and an exhaustion and a depression that is going to be blown away, and that the joy of the Lord is going to come and is going to rest on us. We are entering, Grace Covenant Church, we are entering into a season of joy. I don't know if I'm allowed, but joy is our word for 2022, but we don't have to wait. We can enjoy this season, and we can enjoy that Jesus came for us. Now, here's what's really fun. That's fun. I didn't watch Rebecca Squishy until this morning. And her point, if you remember, if you're good students, her point was, today we are learning that Jesus is our joy. I'm not done. In between services, I went back to my office to sit down for a minute, and I opened my email, which I don't usually do on a Sunday morning in between services. And I opened my email, and someone that I love and know and trust sent me an email about what she's sensing prophetically in the spirit. You want to hear the first line? The last few weeks, God has been showing me one word in my mind, big block letters, J-O-Y. Joy. We'll unwrap the rest of her word later, but come on. We have an invitation today. We have an invitation to enter into a new season, a new place of joy. And I feel it in my spirit, and I'm ready to go. Please, let's go. Let's just go ahead and pray into that. God, we receive your joy. We receive the joy of our salvation. Would you remind us the joy of our salvation? Would you remind us the hope that we have in you? Would you remind us that you came and you died on our behalf so that we could be free from sin and death forever? And that is news to be happy about. God, we invite and we receive your joy today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's roll that video.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not, and cannot, and will not overcome it. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We have seen his glory, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, full of grace and truth.
Beach now. Oh, sounds good. Oh, I'd like to go. Have you ever found yourself at the right place at the right time? Just divinely in a place of favor. Some would call it luck. There was this few years back, right after Coach Beamer had retired from Virginia Tech. I'm a huge Virginia Tech football fan, despite our current season's record. And My husband and I decided to last minute get tickets for my brother and his wife, and we went, and it was like a gorgeous day, which doesn't always happen in Blacksburg. And we killed the team, which also doesn't always happen. And while we were tailgating, Frank Beamer pulls in and parks right next to us. It's the right place at the right time. It's just amazing. One year, on our way home from our Battelle trip, we saw Cal Ripken in the airport. And my husband was like a teenage girl at a Justin Bieber concert. And that doesn't happen often. And actually, another year, as I was getting off the plane to go to Battelle, it's the only place we go, I went to the restroom with Victoria Beckham. Now, I wasn't nearly as excited as all of the Battelle men were. But it was still just kind of a cool thing, kind of a claim to fame. I've told you all before, my family and I had this like dream trip in Ireland where the sun was shining all of the time, the weather was warm, we even got to swim in the ocean. From the northern coast, we could see the coast of Scotland, and there were locals who said they'd never seen that before. It's like a kiss from God. We're just in the right place at the right time. Sometimes, in God's mercy, he just divinely interrupts our normally scheduled lives. Sometimes he just breaks in Saul, who grew into the man Paul, was not looking for an encounter with God, but on his way to Damascus, God broke in and blinded him so that he could eventually come to see the light. Sometimes God does that. And then other times, we set ourselves up for such an encounter. If you're into sports, and if you're going to watch the Washington football team and Dallas football game today at 1 o'clock. They're both football teams, Mike, just so you know. a really good receiver is anticipating what his quarterback is going to do, and all the while also anticipating what the defense is going to do, and they're setting themselves up for a great pass. In basketball, a good defensive player is anticipating the players around them, anticipating where the rebound is going to go. And they're setting themselves up to get the ball, to be in the way. There was this one time I went to a conference in Fredericksburg, and I was by myself, and I was on my way home, going through Madison, and I had made a wrong turn, and I was coming down a back street in Madison, and right as I got to a stop sign, these cones got put right in front of the road, and I'm stuck, and it was a parade. There was a car behind me, there were cones in front of me, and a parade marching through, and I got to enjoy like 2 hours of a small town parade. Totally by accident. And now we are those people who set their chairs up in Bridgewater to reserve our spot so that we can see a small town parade. There's a difference. Sometimes it just happens. And other times you set yourself up. We're in the middle of our Advent series. We're talking about light. Sometimes in God's mercy, in his kindness, in his extravagant love for us, by no effort of our own, he reveals his glorious light to us. The shepherds, they're minding their own business. just normal day on the job, when all of a sudden, the sky is filled with light. Angels upon angels. Can you imagine? Their day was interrupted by the glory and the light of God. Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Elizabeth, they're all good and righteous people who were living their lives in purity before the Lord, but they weren't looking. They weren't expecting. Simeon, on the other hand, the guy we're talking about today, Simeon was looking for the light. He was waiting on it. He had arranged his life in such a way that he wouldn't miss it. And I would go further to say that he was living his life in such a way that he would attract the light of God. You want to hear about it? All right. Luke 2, starting in verse 22. And when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, this is Mary and Joseph bringing baby Jesus to the temple. They brought him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Verse 25, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul as well, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. It is a wonderful gift when God in his kindness sheds his light on us. But like Simeon, we can live our lives in such a way that attracts the light of God. Number one, righteous. One of the first verses. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. Church, be righteous, be devout. Righteous means that we're upright, that we have right relationship with God and good dealings with man. And devout means that we're God-fearing, full of reverence towards God. I had this point worked out, but last night I was spending some time with the Lord, softening my heart, getting ready for today. And in my time of worship, I was confessing my love for the Lord, and I said something about, Lord, I want my life to reflect how I love you. And immediately, light came and revealed, exposed, an area where my life does not reflect the light of God and my love for him. I felt no condemnation. I felt no shame. In fact, I felt incredibly loved by God, that in this sweet and intimate and tender moment, he would give me an invitation to something better. He would say, He doesn't, it's not shame, there was no finger pointing, but he said, daughter, I have something more for you. This pattern isn't going to take you there. It's time to lay this thing down. And so I repented and prayed, worshiped, I'm so thankful that that's the way that he loves us. And as I was reflecting then on this, on being righteous, I was reminded again that our righteousness isn't about being perfect and getting it all right all of the time. But instead, it's about running to him in our imperfections. It's about turning to him when we blow it, when we don't get it right. It's not about us having neat and tidy and polished lives, but it's about us knowing the one who has gotten it all right. It's about knowing the perfect one who sets us free. It's about knowing where our righteousness is found. In Romans 5, 17 and 18, it says, for if because of one man's trespasses, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in the life of the one man through Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness, Jesus, leads to justification and life for all men. Listen, how we live our lives matters. I've said that before. What you do behind closed doors, it matters. What you say when someone is out of earshot, it matters. How you spend your money, it matters. How you spend your time, it matters. But it doesn't matter because we have to earn approval before God. It doesn't matter because it's our pathway into his presence. It matters, church, because God cares so much about our hearts that he's inviting us into something more and something deeper. You are righteous. Righteous. You are righteous. Be righteous. Be devout. Grace Covenant, be righteous. Be devout, and you will attract the light of God in your lives. Number two, word. Word, know the word. Simeon knew the word, and therefore he knew what he was looking for. Simeon knew the Old Testament prophecies. He knew that Isaiah had prophesied that for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Simeon knew the word of God. He knew the prophecies, and he let that shape what he was looking for. Not everybody was looking for a baby, even though they had been told to look for a baby. But instead of letting our need shape what we look for, or letting our opinions or our best ideas shape what we're looking for God to do, we actually need to look to the Word to see what God will do. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word is Jesus. Simeon knew the Word. He knew the Word, and he knew Jesus. They're one and the same. He knew the Word, and so there was this familiarity that he had. And so when he came into the temple, Rebecca mentioned this in the squishy, he recognized Jesus immediately. There was a familiar spirit that rested on him, and he recognized God because he was familiar with who he was. This this word, it'll tell us who God is. It'll tell us what he's like. It'll share with us his nature. It lays out for us a foundation that we can stand on. It shows us who God is. So Simeon walks in. Rebecca painted a great picture. Can you imagine walking into the temple and the joy that Simeon must have felt seeing that baby and recognizing it as his salvation? Recognizing, wrapped in this little child, the light for the Gentiles. I'd say that's most of us in here. And the glory of Israel, the chosen people, wrapped in this tiny child. Know the word, church. Know the word, and it will attract the light of God into your life. Number three. Trust the promise keeper. Does anybody know what this picture is? The Blue Ridge Tunnel. Give that girl a prize. Well done. You guys are nice, awkward. So if you don't know, if you've never been, I highly recommend it. It's a really cool thing to do in our area. So this is a tunnel that cuts through Afton Mountain. And it used to be for trains to run through, and now they've opened it up for hikers and bikers, and it's a really cool experience. I have to say my youngest son was really nervous to go through. And I'm very thankful for our new projectors. Otherwise, this image never would have worked. But you can see there, that little dot, that's not a mistake. That is the light at the end of the tunnel. The literal light at the end of the tunnel. Now, when Simeon received the word, we don't have any details about that. He was waiting for two promises. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That just means the comfort of Israel. He was waiting for the salvation of Israel to come. He was also waiting because he had been promised that he wouldn't die until he had seen Jesus. So he is holding on to these two promises. It might have looked like that. Those promises, when he received them, might have looked like that. That word that I just gave you about joy, I don't know what you're facing in your life. It might look like that. It might feel far away. It might feel distant. It might feel like just a speck that's out there somewhere. But I promise you, church, if you keep your eyes fixed on that promise, if you keep your eyes fixed on that light, if you move towards that thing, if you believe that thing, if you trust that the one who promised is faithful, you will get to that light, and you will get to fully experience the light. Expect. You know, when in the passage, when it says that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, it's not like if it doesn't show up in a few minutes, I guess I'll move on. No, this is like a faith-fueled wait. It's an anticipation. It was an expectancy. Simeon wasn't doubting that it was going to come. He was expecting it. And you know what? Sometimes I think that our faith is so attractive to God that it takes that light that is so far out and it brings it closer to us. Trust the promise keeper. And that light, it'll attract the light of God. One, I just want to acknowledge, I don't have a great answer for you, but I know that there are people sitting here today who are like, wait a second. I feel like I had a promise from God, and it did not happen. Maybe it was you really believed someone was going to get healed, and they didn't. Or you were believing for your marriage, now you're divorced. Or you've been believing for a child, and now you're estranged. You know, the light has... And I don't have much to say except that the human condition, our sinfulness, factors into all of this. God gave us free will because he wanted us to choose love. We're not robots. We are flesh and blood, heart and soul. And he gave us the gift of free will that we could choose to love him or not. And so the pain of the human condition is that when I sin, it messes things up for Amy. When I sin, it messes things up for Becky and Gerald. It screws everything up. Hebrews 10:23 gives us hope. It says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Things may not turn out the way that you wanted them to. Listen, I have had this one outcome that I have been holding on to, praying for decades nearly. And just recently, the Lord convicted me and said, "Are you going to hold on to the outcome, or are you going to hold on to me?" Trust the promise keeper. He who promised is faithful. And everyone sitting in here, your story is not done yet. He who promised is faithful. Trust the promise keeper, and you will attract the light of God into your life. Number four, follow the leader. Follow the leader. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Simeon, in verse 25, says, "And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And then he came in the Spirit into the temple." The Spirit was upon him. The Spirit revealed things to him. And then he came in the Spirit into the temple. Another one of our Battelle trips. Like I said, it's the only time we travel. Before we had kids, you know, another lifetime ago, Travis and I extended our trip and we went to Scotland. And it was not a beautiful sunny day. It was, like most Scottish days, it was bleak, it was dark, it was cloudy, it was raining, it was cold, it's a little miserable. And on one of these days, we did a tour of the Highlands. So we just bought these tickets, got on a bus, and rode around the Highlands. And we had this fantastic tour guide. Like, he was fantastic. He was so entertaining. And he made, and it was so foggy that you really couldn't see all that much. But he was so good that he made the landscape come to life. He showed us exactly where to look and how to look. He showed us the treasure in the midst of the fog. When we got to Loch Ness, he had me believing that I was actually going to spot Nessie. He was so good, and this is what the Holy Spirit does for us, that in the middle of the bleak, in the middle of the dark, in the middle of us not being able to see very far ahead of us, he says, "I've got something cool to show you. Just come with me. I'll show you the treasure. I'll show you the light. Listen to my voice. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. I'll reveal things to you that you've never even dreamed about." He's a good tour guide. I have one thing I've learned. Going into difficult situations, difficult meetings, man, if you go in the Holy Spirit and you have a plan with the Holy Spirit, he's a good strategist, by the way. And he's so loving, he's so kind, he's so gentle. But I know what it's like to go into difficult situations in the Holy Spirit, and it always turns out better. Always turns out better, not easy, better. And I know what it's like to go into those things without the Holy Spirit. I've hurt people doing that. He's a good guide. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be led by the Holy Spirit. And if you are, you will attract the light of God. Number five, last one. Count me in. Don't disqualify yourself. This isn't explicitly said in the text, but this is what I see in the text. God revealed himself to Simeon. This is the only place we read about Simeon. It's not like then Simeon goes and is, he's not John the Baptist. He's not the forerunner. He doesn't have a job to do. He's not like super important. But he is to God. He has value to God. So much so that God orchestrated the world to get Mary and Joseph and Simeon in the same place at the same time so that Simeon could encounter the love and the light of God. And so, church, I need you to hear it today. He came for you, Karis, you. He came for us all, it's true, but he came for you. He came for you. You are his favorite. I know, we nervously laugh. Dick Blackwell tells me I'm his favorite all the time, and I am. But I know he has a lot of favorites. God is that way. He came for you, Diana. You. He loves you. He came for you. He came for me. He did it all for us, both corporately and individually. And I believe, guys, that the revelation of this is the source of our joy. That when we understand that the God of heaven and earth left all its comfort to come as a baby to rescue you. Me. He did it for each of us. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. 1 Corinthians 9:26 and 27, I don't run aimlessly. I don't box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should not be disqualified. Jesus came for all of us. It's true. And it is true that he came for you. He came for you. The light is for all of us. And the light is for you. It's for you. Stand with me. Ministry team, I'd love for you to come up. If you've never received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never fully realized that he came for you, just for you, he did, he came just for you. Just in your heart, would you pray this with me right now? Jesus, thank you for coming for me. Jesus, thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you for tearing down every wall that would separate me from knowing God. Thank you for your forgiveness and your life and your joy. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I would encourage you to come up. We'd love to talk with you and help you start this journey of walking with God. Otherwise, I'm going to pray for all of you. God, we receive your joy. God, would you help us to be like the children who led us in worship today? Would you make us childlike in our ability to receive from you? And Jesus, we want to be people who attract the light of God. God, we want to attract your light in our lives. And God, we ask, Lord, would you let it work deeply in us? And would you let it, God, work through us so that we can be the light of the world? We love you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I bless you, church. You are released. I invite you to come forward for prayer. We'll see you next week.